Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice. I think that it's safe to say that Bishop Gene Robinson of the Episcopal Church is the informal leader of a movement. Now, it's a movement that's found all across American Christianity. It's a movement that's found in many different denominations, not only his own, the Episcopal Church, but also the Presbyterian Church USA. It's found in the UCC, the United Church of Christ. It's found in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They're all of different denominations. They all have their own movements. But Gene Robinson is, if you will, the poster boy for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered agenda in American Christendom, maybe even outside American Christendom as well. 2003, he was consecrated as the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church. And from that time, actually even a little bit before that time, he has become the poster boy for the movement. And of course, his own church body just yesterday evening voted overwhelmingly to approve transgendered ordinations. And this is kind of unusual. Someone who is born a man but lives as a woman, or born a woman but lives as a man, or they stipulate in their new canon laws, I guess, in the Episcopal Church, you don't have to declare a gender at all. You live as neither male nor female. You can now be ordained as a priest in the Episcopal Church. And this is part of the agenda that Gene Robinson has been so deftly pushing for about 10 plus years. He spoke recently on the occasion of the meeting of the Presbyterian Church USA. Their particular movement, called More Light, had him come in as for a banquet speaker. He was going to be the keynote speaker, and he had a lot of things to say. We're going to play this audio for you. It's audio open lines. And we're going to stop. We're going to start it. We're going to have a few comments, my comments. I'm especially interested in your comments, your questions, and your reaction live this Tuesday afternoon. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. You can send us an email with questions or comments, include your city and state. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or you can go to our Facebook fan page. We have left space right there for you to leave questions or comments on Gene Robinson's address to More Light, the Presbyterian pro-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered group that we're going to play for you right now. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, this is Gene Robinson. He's bishop in the Episcopal Church, speaking to a group of Presbyterians who are fighting their own battle, their own movement in the Presbyterian Church USA for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered rights, including marriage and ordination. And this is how he started, talking about, commending them for the good work that they've been doing.
The work that I think you have done is to create enormous confusion in the Presbyterian Church. And you and I both know that confusion is a big step forward from certainty. It was not that many years ago when our churches, yours and mine and most others, were absolutely certain what God thought of us and what our churches thought of us. And because of your courageous work, there are a lot of confused people out there. And that is a huge step forward. I mean, after all, remember how change happens. And you've seen it. You have a worldview that pretty much interprets the world and your experiences to you. And then you have an experience for which that worldview is simply not sufficient to incorporate it. And you're thrown into confusion. And you come out on the other side either denying that that experience happened at all, or you come out with a revised worldview.
All right, so a couple things to kick it off. He's commending them for causing confusion in their respective church bodies and moving the church body from what he calls certainty to confusion. He says that's a major step forward for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered movement in the church, a movement from people being certain of what they believe. Now, he says how they viewed us, meaning lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people. He's commending them for moving the church body from certainty about these matters to confusion. Now, you might find that a bit odd for a bishop to commend people for causing confusion in the church. He says, well, no, that's how change happens in the church. Change happens because everybody thinks they know what they believe, and then they have an experience, and they either deny the experience or they revise their worldview and change what they believe. And he obviously thinks that the church changing what it believes about lesbianism, homosexuality, bisexuality, transsexuality is a good thing. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, July the 10th, listening to a recent address given by Bishop Gene Robinson of the Episcopal Church to he was the first openly gay bishop there in the Episcopal Church, to a pro-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender group of the Presbyterian Church USA. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or go to our Facebook fan page. We have space there for you to comment on the bishop's address. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. He's got another name for it. Not just confusion, but as we'll hear in just a second, I think he calls it holy chaos.
I like to think of it as holy chaos. I have a friend in New York who thinks that's what the Anglican Communion has been going through, pretty much what has happened in families all across America. Kids come home and they say, "Mom, Dad, I'm gay," and the family is thrown into confusion. And then the parents have to decide how deep, how broad, how high is their love for their child. So the gay kid, the Bishop of New Hampshire, came home to Dad, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and said, "Dad, I'm gay." And now the Anglican Communion is in confusion.
Okay, let's just deal with his analogy a little bit here. There's some of this stuff I want to hear from you. Some of this stuff I have to clear up right here and now. He's basically made the analogy between himself and the Archbishop of Canterbury and children and their parents. So the child comes home and says to Mom and Dad, "I'm gay," and the mom and dad have to decide if they love their kid or not. Now, he's making the analogy with himself going to Worldwide Anglicanism in the person of the Archbishop of Canterbury, that's the titular head of Worldwide Anglicanism, saying, and the bishop saying, "I'm gay," and now Anglicanism they get confused. They have to decide, do they really love this child of the church or not? Do you see something wrong with this? What is it? I mean, is it really true? Except in kind of the world distorted into kind of all in the family, Archie Bunker style family, that a kid comes home to his parents and says, "Mom and Dad, I'm gay," and the parents have to decide whether they love their child or not? I don't think it's ever in question whether the parents love their child or not. But what he's implying here very strongly is, well, if the parents love their child, they will approve of this child's sexual orientation. And if they don't, they won't. That's a pretty harsh statement, isn't it? I mean, he has, in essence, implied that every parent who does not approve of their child's homosexual behavior doesn't love their child. And if Worldwide Anglicanism doesn't approve of this gay bishop, they don't love him. Let's see what you have to say. Rachel's calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. He's leaving out the third thing when he said there's only two options. He's saying the two options are that you deny something that happened or you change. But the third thing, and that's that whole twisted thing of not presenting all the information, is, you know, I think we've all experienced when we are doubtful about things and we look at our experiences and what the Word of God says, God turns out to be right every time. So for those things that we don't understand, we can trust that the word is always perfect.
So you're saying the third option that the bishop is conveniently omitting is you either he says you either deny that something happened or you change your worldview. You're saying no. Sometimes when something happens that challenges your worldview emerges on the other side even more certain.
Right, because you know, whether you have experiences or hear things or get information, you look at that whole history of your life. I look at every time I thought A and God said B, gosh, he turned out to be right and I was wrong. So it's gotten to the point where you know, if you follow what God says in his word and he's right every time, for those things that we don't totally understand, we can trust him.
Rachel, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Florida. Oh, but don't worry, folks. The good bishop, if we listen on here through the remainder of the hour, the good bishop has an explanation for why God isn't wrong. God's been revising his position. God revises his worldview, too. But we'll hear that in just a minute. Let's see what Andy has to say going into this break, calling from Kirkwood, Missouri. Hi, Andy.
Well, it's a little early, but the bishop's opening line there is my vote for soundbite of the week, by all means. More chaos in the church, the better. But, Mom, Dad, I'm addicted to heroin, and you approve of that, don't you? Because you love me.
You get it, Andy. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kirkwood. When we come back from this break, we'll hear more. We're going to try and hear the entire 28 minutes of Bishop Gene Robinson's address to a Presbyterian pro-gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered group made recently. We're playing it for you, and we're getting your reaction. It's audio, open lines, issues, etc. Give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. A tweet @IssuesETC, or visit our Facebook fan page. Leave your questions, comments, or reactions there. Remember to include your city and state, facebook.com/IssuesETC. We'll be right back.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. All right. So far, Bishop Robinson has commended the Presbyterian pro-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender group for causing confusion. He says holy chaos by pushing the LGBT agenda in their church body and elsewhere. And he's instructed them on how change happens. Change happens when your worldview is challenged and you get confused, and you either decide that you love your kids and will accept everything that they do, or I guess you don't love your kids. That's the analogy he's made. But just wait. He's just getting started. He has a lot to say. I want you to hear it, but I also want to hear what you have to say. 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. 1-877-623-MYIE.
Trying to decide how deep, how broad, how wide God's love really is. That is holy confusion and chaos. And you are to be congratulated for giving the gift of confusion to your church. It is a huge step forward. Now, it comes with some risks. You know, if you have a vision for how broad God's love is, and it's too good to be true, I mean, really, that's our problem, isn't it? Is that the vision we're putting forward for God's extravagant love for God's creation, all of us, it's just too good to be true. So it is an act of faith to say, but I know it is true. And I'm going to live my life as if it were true. But that comes with some risks, because if you preach a God like that, you'll get into trouble. I promise you. Yeah. People in this room already know it, right? I mean, isn't it astounding that you can be on 800 radio stations preaching a God of revenge and hate and non-mercy and get by with it just fine? But you start preaching a God who is too merciful, too loving, too expansive, too inclusive, and there will be hell to pay. And you know about that. And I know about that.
Now, I got to correct something the bishop has said here. I mean, he's trying to paint himself and his fellow travelers there as martyrs for a God that's too loving, radically loving. But he was elevated to bishop. He's hardly being punished for his proclivities. He has served for the last almost 10 years as the bishop, the first openly gay bishop, and the cause celeb of the movement. So he's hardly suffering for this. Now, granted, he has his naysayers, he has his critics, sure he does. But he seems to be doing pretty good for a martyr. Correct me if I'm wrong, but most martyrs end up dead. And he seems to be alive and kicking and kind of at the top of his game. So that doesn't wash with me, this idea, it gets you in trouble. Maybe, but in the Episcopal Church USA, being Gene Robinson gets you made bishop. Now, he might be talking about the trouble he's getting from the Anglican Communion. I think they've been handling the Episcopal Church with kid gloves for the last 20 years. I could tell you exactly why, too. Money. That's where the money is. So that seems awfully thin to me, his claim to be martyrs, and especially he's speaking to a group of people who've been fighting for this cause, and maybe they've been fighting for it. Maybe some of them have suffered something for it. He accepts as axiomatic that they're fighting for the truth. And it's a very convenient lens to use, isn't it? That if my church disapproves of it, it must mean I'm fighting for the truth. That's not always true. Sometimes it is. Sometimes your church disapproves of it because your church is trying to stand with the Word of God. Not the Episcopal Church USA, mind you. They're not trying to stand with the Word of God anymore at all. But, you know, the Presbyterian Church USA is still trying. It's in the final throes, but it's still trying some in some sectors to stand with the Word of God when it comes to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered issues. So I just had to point out that his claim to martyrdom is overwrought.
What I don't understand is why that should come as a surprise. Not to Christians, not to Jews, certainly. I mean, how many times does Jesus tell us that if we stand on the side of history, if we stand on the side of a loving God, we will pay a price? Take up your cross and follow me. If you want to save your life, you must be willing to lose it. It's all right there. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Why does it come as a surprise to us when we get grief for preaching that kind of God? So I would actually say that the real question for your church and mine is, if you're not in trouble because of the gospel you preach, is it really the gospel?
You guys want to react to this? Really? I mean, he's just quoted three Bible passages in a row, claiming, in effect, that Jesus is on the side of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender movement, that Jesus believes that suffering for righteousness' sake means what they're doing, pushing gay marriage, pushing gay ordination, and the suffering that they're doing for is actually suffering for righteousness' sake. I want to hear from you, 1-877-623-6943. How would you correct that? He's got the Bible on his side, doesn't he? He's quoting Bible passages. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
I think we should wear our conflict as a badge of honor, because it is exactly the kind of conflict the one you and I call Savior experienced all through his life. From the first time he spoke in his hometown synagogue and nearly got thrown off a cliff until that terrible day on Calvary. I have to say that my own inspiration for our movement is largely based on my experience of and my reading about the civil rights movement of the 60s and the way in which I continue to this day to be inspired by African Americans who went into the streets knowing they would face fire hoses and snarling dogs and sometimes death itself, and they went anyway.
Now, he's starting into an analogy. It's very common. It's one that he's used it publicly many times. It's one that is often made both inside and outside the church for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered agenda. And that is, we're just doing what the African Americans in America did in the 50s, 60s, 70s during the civil rights movement. That's all we're doing. We're fighting for the same recognition, the same kind of freedoms. The analogy between race and sexual orientation. And he's going to go on in that vein for a few minutes. I do want to know, did you hear what he had to say there just a few minutes ago? That the opposition that they're facing as they push the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered agenda in the church is the same opposition that Jesus faced his entire ministry that eventually got him crucified. Now, I don't know if he's trying to say that Jesus was crucified because he was a champion of lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgender rights. But he's definitely drawing a line between the two. Now, he'd be hard-pressed to make the case that Jesus was a champion for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered rights. Since by their own admission, one of their big apologetic points is that Jesus never addressed the issue of homosexuality. But he finds it rather easy to make the analogy between Jesus and the suffering that he... It's a weird way of thinking about Jesus' suffering, isn't it? Jesus suffered for being a champion of the truth. Whatever Jesus' truth was, it's like our truth. And our truth is that God approves of homosexuality. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And as I said, he's just getting started.
So, well, I remember that as a way to say to myself, toughen up. Of course it's going to be hard. If it weren't hard, everybody would be doing it. What is that from A League of Their Own, you know? There's no crying in baseball, you know? Or that wonderful button that I love that says, stop whining, organize. We need to toughen up. This is hard work. And we can do it because it is worthy work and it is godly work. And we should not be surprised when grief comes our way about it.
Let's go to the phones real quick before we round off this first hour. We'll keep this going into the next hour, going first to Lois in St. Louis. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Todd. This is the first time I've called in since you're on this new program. I just want to say how grateful I am that you're back on the air here. And also, I thought that there was a whole list of qualifications for pastors in the church, and one of them was that he should be the husband of but one wife. And that's about the only thing that I want to say about this, because I don't want to prove my ignorance.
Well, Lois, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Yeah, it's true. And if you read Gene Robinson's bio, he has been the husband of one wife in the past. And then he came out, divorced his wife, and has recently married his gay lover. So he's the husband of one husband right now. Of course, it's been a long time since the Episcopal Church USA paid attention to anything remotely resembling the biblical requirements for the office of overseer. But Lois, thank you very much for pointing it out. Now, when we come back from this break, hour two of Issues Etc., we'll pick up right where we left off with Gene Robinson, an address given recently to as the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church to a pro-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender group in the Presbyterian Church USA. Audio open lines, your reaction, your questions, and your comments. 1-877-623-6943. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Join Issues Etc. regular guest Gene Edward Veith, Stephen Hine, and me for the Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Topics include teaching Latin, music, history, literature, the catechism, and more. Visit ccle.org for more information. The Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th in Houston, Texas, ccle.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through some audio here. Very interesting, engaging, we might say. Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church. Now, 9 years into his, they do call it a reign as bishop there in New Hampshire, is a poster child for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender movement in the church. And he's speaking to a group of Presbyterians, the Presbyterian Church USA, commending them for causing some holy confusion, divine confusion, holy chaos, as he says, talking about how change happens. And he's very quickly not only drawn a line between the suffering of those who are pushing the gay agenda in the church and Jesus' own suffering, now he's making the analogy between their suffering and that of those who fought for civil rights in the United States. It's Audio Open Lines, an hour or more of Audio Open Lines as we listen to this address given by Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our Facebook fan page, where you can leave questions, comments, and reaction, facebook.com/issuesetc. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our in-studio email address, we get them all in real time right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Jan is listening in Clarksville, Tennessee. Jan, thanks for waiting on the line.
Sure. Actually, thank you for making me hold because it's let me calm down a little bit. First, I think the scripture is clear that God is not the author of confusion. His category confusion about how we love our children is just appalling, but the worst thing is for him to call sin and what God condemns as sin in the scripture righteousness. I'm afraid that there's a word for that that applies to him, and I believe it's anathema. Thank you.
Jan, thanks for listening in Tennessee. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. It's Audio Open Lines. This is mostly for your reaction, but we will be trying to get in all of Bishop Robinson's address to the Presbyterians in favor of lesbian, gay, and bisexual matters in their church body in the course of this hour. 1-877-623-6943. Herman's waiting in Illinois. Hi, Herman.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Two quick parts of the answer. One, if he is correct, this Bishop Robinson, Jesus would have taught the Lord's Prayer in such a way as to say, "Thy kingdom be gay and come on earth." And on the other hand, he's coming from a liberal position that has long made mincemeat, or at least proclaimed in its hermeneutical eisegesis, to make mincemeat of the Word of God. So in what sense can he really use even the Word of God for the assertions he's making, other than he's making up his own religion?
Thank you very much, Herman. Well, it's true, and you can't have your cake and eat it too. He can't openly disagree, and you will hear him in just a minute, basically say what the Bible says isn't God's final word, and then claim the surety of Scripture for your position. You can't have it both ways. You can't say the Word of God, such as we have it, is obsolete. He'll talk about the seven passages that allegedly speak against homosexuality and how you're supposed to respond when someone raises a Bible passage. He will gainsay those passages, but then he wants to use the Bible on the other hand. You're right, quite right, Herman. It's the logical and theological inconsistency of the position. Let's see what Jan in Atlanta, Georgia, has to say. Hi, Jan.
Hi. Herman is so subtle. There needs to be a distinction made between eisegesis and exegesis. And just off the top of my head, eisegesis differs from exegesis in the sense that you're making Scripture say what you want it to say. And I'm looking at Deuteronomy 6, and the passage is talking about how someone who's successful is given that success from God because God is testing you to determine whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. This is taking our eyes off Christ. And when that happens, the passage goes on to say, if your very own brother or your son or daughter or the wife you love or your closest friend secretly entices you to worship other gods, whether it's sensuality or materialism, it says, do not yield to them or listen to them. Show them no pity. Do not spare them or shield them. I love my child, and I love him enough to discipline him. And that's what God does with all his children. When we look at behaviors and how it squares with God's word, we cannot make concessions for a person who's wrong just because they're related to us.
Jan, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in, Georgia. You're quite right. I mean, it's our listeners can see through the analogy. Well, parents who love their children accept their children's behavior. That doesn't work in any case, much less lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered. If you loved me, you would accept my behavior. You would approve of my behavior. That's what Gene Robinson wants parents to do. And of course, the natural corollary to that is, if you don't accept my behavior or approve of it, then you must not love me. Mary in Southern Illinois says, Todd, I'm not calling in because every line this bishop says, my reaction is, oh, please. He's totally disingenuous. Can't possibly believe what he's saying. Yes, he does believe what he's saying, Mary. Quite so. And if he's been to seminary, which he has, or even read the Bible, and is fathered by Satan, as Jesus said, your father is a liar and the father of all lies, or words to that effect. I'm also trying to remember, says Mary in Southern Illinois, that Jesus loves this man as well as those who believe in him, obviously, beyond our sinful ability to do. Yikes, says Mary in Southern Illinois. Let's see what Gail has to say. She's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Gail.
Hello. I hope this is still relevant because I had to stop driving and come inside. But at the very beginning of his talk, he praised the confusion brought to the church. And I would question that because Christ always talked about truth, order, and understanding. I never heard him praise confusion. And then the other one, you know, he was talking about how when you offer a more lavish love, well, I don't know how you can get more lavish than Christ giving a son for the, you know, our sins and any sin. That's pretty lavish. So I don't know how this is a more lavish offering to sinners, whoever they are. And third, in dealing with, you know, the questions that he's asking, what is he using for his basis of truth? The plumb line, I would think that would be the Word of God. And I think the Word of God in terms of order and speaking to creation and the order of creation, et cetera, is pretty... pretty black and white on some sins. Some sins maybe are a bit more gray, but some sins are black and white. And it is the confessing sinner that love is lavished upon.
Gail, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Well, you know, it's a whole different religion, isn't it? I mean, it's a Jesus who died because he stood up for something, not because he was paying the price for anyone's sins. And it's a God that loves us, not for Christ's sake, but just loves us because, well, he's like that parent that can be cowed by their children into accepting their behavior. If you don't accept my behavior and approve of it, then you must not love me. Carl says, four things pertain to the bishops and the Presbyterian Church USA's more light point of view. One, these false teachings invariably emerge from a fallacious doctrine of Scripture. Believers must stay close to the Word. Two, the Presbyterian Church USA movement should be called more darkness. They boldly promote the darkness implicit in false doctrine. In this way, their initial sexual sin is compounded by the additional sin of promoting false doctrine. I think the Bible has something to say about that, teaching people to sin. Number three, the bishop promotes and upholds confusion and holy chaos. This is insightful insofar as it corresponds with their promotion of lies, after the fashion of the father of lies. The need for him to, and those who share his point of view, to repent is urgent, says Carl. And four, such people who are emblematic of the lost souls identified in the first chapter of Romans, and God either has or will give them over to the natural consequences of their folly. Nevertheless, they must not be hated, but loved. Where love does not involve affirmation of their folly, heresy, or false doctrines. Love your show. Thanks. And Carl, thanks for listening to you as well. One more. This is before we go to our break. This is from Jacob in Wisconsin, and then we'll get back to Gene Robinson. Bishop Robinson's speech to his Presbyterian group betrays the truth of what's going on regarding lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender movements in the church. He makes it abundantly clear that the church and the Christian faith are accidental to the movement. That's an interesting insight. Jesus Christ and the Christian faith are tangential to him, a divergence, a side road from the real thing, the end of patriarchy and liberation. I wonder if anyone else noticed the room erupting into applause when he said that we are witnessing the beginning of the end of patriarchy. We'll hear him say that. It's truly remarkable to put it lightly that a man who claims to be a bishop of Christ seems to be obsessed with power and change in the kingdom of the right and only seems to mention the church to criticize her as unfortunate and simple-minded. I'm left wondering if Bishop Robinson is always the cheerleader of the movement or if he ever offers a substantial support for his arguments or his theological conclusions. I wonder what Greg Kokel would make of his speech. That's a good suggestion. When we come back, more of your reaction to Bishop Gene Robinson speaking to a pro gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender group.
Beth and I were looking for some summer tutoring services for our two middle school children. We shopped around and scheduled an appointment with Sabrina at Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville. Justin and Emily were thoroughly tested and are currently taking classes for math and reading comprehension. Sylvan Learning Center has two Metro East locations, Edwardsville, 656-0500, Shiloh, 628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur, 997-3035. Avoid summer learning loss, Sylvan Learning.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're getting your reaction during audio open lines on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 10th, to Bishop Gene Robinson, some things he had to say to a pro-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered Presbyterian church group. And we're barely in. We got a lot more for him to say. He's made the analogy that if you're going to push for the truth as he sees it, you're going to have to suffer. So stop whining about it and be willing to suffer for the gay agenda. It's a little bit of a pep talk for this group of Presbyterians. You understand, of course, the Episcopal Church USA has already won the battle as far as he's concerned. They've just last night, they voted overwhelmingly that people who were born as women and live as men, or born as men and live as women, or are unwilling to declare a gender, can also be priests in the Episcopal Church. And so he's speaking as someone who's kind of crossed the finish line to people who are still running the race. Michael in Maryland says, when I heard his phrase cause confusion, I also heard, is that what God really said? Very insightful, Michael, and thanks for listening in Maryland. Let's see what more the good bishop has to say.
The fact of the matter is 95%, that's my figure, 95% of all the oppression that gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender people experience in our churches and synagogues and mosques and in our culture can be laid at the feet of religious people. And the thing that keeps me sympathetic to my enemies in this work is I try to remember that they are only believing what we taught them not very long ago. They're only believing what we taught them. And it's going to take religious people to undo it. And you don't even have to be religious to be affected by this. We have a group in Concord called Concord Outright. It's for 12 to 21-year-old gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and questioning teens. And I was with a small group of them one night, seven of them. Not a single one had grown up in any church or any religious community whatsoever. Not a day of Sunday school in their lives. And we were talking about God, and every one of them knew the word abomination. Now, they couldn't have found the book of Leviticus in the Bible if they'd had a loaded gun pointed to their heads. But they knew that word, and they thought that's what God thought of them. Even the avowed atheists among them thought that's what God thought of them. It's in the air we breathe.
Now, a couple things here, and of course your reaction, I'd love to hear it, 1-877-623-6943. He's sympathetic. He's sympathetic with people like me or you who still believe what we were taught. He says, it's hard for me to blame these religious people who disapprove of lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgendered agenda. It's hard for me to blame them because they're only believing what we taught them not so long ago. What was it that the church was teaching them not so long ago? God's word? What the Bible says? So, this is feigning sympathy. I can't read the man's heart, but I think this is feigned sympathy. And a real antipathy for the word of God, isn't it? I mean, why were we teaching? I'll speak here as just pretend that I'm a member of the Episcopal Church USA. Why were we teaching them that homosexuality was a sin not so long ago? Well, we were getting that teaching from Scripture, weren't we? So what is the bishop saying? The bishop is saying, well, it's kind of our fault for teaching them the Bible. And if we're going to change their minds, we're going to have to change their minds. It's going to have to be us who change their minds. We have to teach them differently than the Word of God. So while he's going to have a lot of glowing things to say about the Word of God and God's new movement and God's new revelation, make no mistake about it. This is a man who despises God's word. Well, I'll just let him say it for himself.
And you and I and our churches are responsible for it. And it is encouraging to see signs that say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But we're going to have to see a lot more of them. And we will live to see the day when the Church of Jesus Christ, in whatever form, will repent of what it has done to LGBT people the way we have repented of what we did in slavery. So, let's take the Bible back from those who have taken it hostage. It is, you know, those are our scriptures too. I mean, one of the great things about the African American community is that they were given the Bible to keep them docile and to keep them quiet and passive. The problem is they read them. They read their Bibles, right?
Now, I want you to listen very carefully. He's going to do a little trick. He's going to appear to say that we need to take the Bible back. We need to take the Bible back from those who have held it hostage, and the African Americans read the Bible, and that's the basis for their fight for freedom. Okay? It's going to sound like he says, if we read the Bible, it will be our basis for our fight for freedom in the lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgendered world. He's going to sound like he's telling people to take the Bible back. But if you listen carefully, and please do, what you'll hear him say is, we should leave the Bible behind, not take it back.
And they had the audacity to actually believe what they read there. Well, hello. gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender people, we've read our Bibles too. And we find ourselves there. And it is astounding when you find yourself there. So the next time someone wants to argue one of those seven deadly verses with you about homosexuality, I want you to interrupt them in a nice sort of way and tell them that you want to talk about a passage from Scripture. The one in John's Gospel, you know, most of John's Gospel is set at the Last Supper, the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And he says this really astounding thing. He says, "There is much that I would teach you, but you cannot bear it right now. So I will send the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth." Now, I take him to mean, for a bunch of rather dull, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, uneducated, rough fishermen, you haven't done too badly. Really. In fact, I'm kind of proud of you. But don't you for a minute think that God is done with you or those who will come after you. Because there is so much that I would teach you, but really, you and your culture and your experience cannot bear it right now.
Okay, did you hear that? He just finished the trick. Like a master magician, the sleight of hand that he pulled. He's trying to say, let's take the Bible back. And let's read the Bible, we'll find ourselves there, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. But then he uses that passage from Jesus, there's much I would teach you, but you cannot bear right now, to say, well, but you see, we got to leave the Bible behind. What it says was only provisional, because it was only accommodated to the ruffian culture of that backward and primitive people who could not bear the idea that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered isms are really pleasing to God, are really righteousness instead of sin. He's actually arguing that you should stop reading the Bible and listen to whatever new thing the quote-unquote Holy Spirit might be teaching you. This is a trick, folks. It's as fake as pulling a rabbit out of a hat. But you gotta pay attention, otherwise you can get fooled. He's not telling people to read their Bibles. He's telling people to stop reading their Bibles. He's not telling people to believe what the Bible says. He's telling people to stop believing what the Bible says and start believing what he says. What he and other church leaders are saying. He's not leading you into Scripture. He's leading you out of it and away from it. Now, it doesn't take an expert to figure that one out. But I thought I'd just point it out to you that he sounded a lot like he was trying to tell people to take the Bible back when he was really telling people to leave the Bible behind. Because it's this simple, folks. The movement that he is leading cannot move forward. It has without jettisoning Scripture. Scripture is an obstacle to them. The Word of God is in their way. The Word of God is blocking their way forward. And you've heard it for yourself. We got to forget what was taught in the Bible because Jesus is trying to prepare us for the idea that these fishermen who were so stupid, I mean, they just couldn't figure anything out. What they believed, was all right at the time. Their culture didn't allow them to be as enlightened as we are today. And now that we are this enlightened, now we're ready for the Holy Spirit to tell us that the Bible isn't true. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Chen Guancheng's story highlights deep divide over abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Chinese dissident Chen Guancheng gained fame in recent months for his daring escape from Chinese authorities. As a human rights activist, Chen spoke out against forced abortions in his home country. Much of the support in America for Chen has come from pro-lifers. But where are the abortion rights supporters? Despite talk about common ground on abortion, Melinda Henneberger of the Washington Post asks, if the brutal oppression of women robbed of any semblance of choice isn't something we can all agree on, I don't know what would be.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
The Association of Lutheran Church Musicians under the direction of Alice Parker with the hymn How Firm a Foundation. It's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. You can listen right now, LutheranPublicRadio.org, or 12 hours from now, LutheranPublicRadio.org, or any time of day or night. It's sacred music for the world, and it follows the church here at LutheranPublicRadio.org, 24/7, 365 days a year. We're going through some audio. Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA, addressing a Presbyterian group that's in favor of and fighting for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered rights in the Presbyterian Church USA, recently speaking to them as a keynote speaker and rallying the troops, so to speak, and getting your reaction during audio open lines on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 10th. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Quick comments from our listeners. David says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace," quoting 1 Corinthians 14:33, of course, reacting to Bishop Gene Robinson commending the lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgendered group for causing confusion in the church. Maybe that's one of those passages that gets undone when Jesus says, "I have much more to teach you, but you cannot bear it right now." Anytime anybody uses that argument with you, as though Jesus is going to nullify what the Bible says at some later point, What I've taught you here is fine as far as it goes, but I got more to say. And by the way, it's going to contradict something that I've already said, or the Bible already says. Anytime anyone quotes that passage to you to say that they've got something that contradicts the Bible, they're not encouraging you to believe the Bible. They're encouraging you to disbelieve the Bible. It's just amazing to me how often that gets used. Let's see what Mark says. He's calling from his cell. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Pastor Todd, two things. One, second commandment, the worst misuse of God's name is to proclaim false doctrine in his name. And secondly, this business about the Holy Spirit saying a new thing, that sin is not sin. Isn't that a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Because one of the things with the Holy Spirit is to apply Christ's work to me, which requires me to repent of my sin. And if I deny sin, how am I going to repent?
Mark, thank you very much. Okay, yes, to both questions. And to put a fine point on it, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to attribute to the Holy Spirit something that the Holy Spirit has not done. That is to call the Word of God, to call the Word of God something that isn't the Word of God. And look, let's just be honest about it. Bishop Robinson is calling his own Word the Word of God, and he's calling the Word of God the Word of man. Okay? He's managed to turn the tables on the Bible rather, at least his audience is buying it, right? They're buying it. Stephen in Columbus, Nebraska says, my gut reaction is sadness that a leader has such a misunderstanding of law and gospel. Quite right. John in Culver City, California says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, he is to be accursed. Galatians 1:8. That's a good applicable verse. Thanks for listening in California, John. In Latvia, Juris says, there is an exact Russian term for that, and I'm sorry, I can't read Cyrillic, a person who lives in sin and enjoys it, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will, after their own lust, heap up for themselves teachers having itching ears. Another applicable verse, smartest listeners in radio. Thanks for listening in Latvia, by the way. Steve's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Something occurred to me when I was listening to this, and it ties into the guy you had from Liberty University on the whole thing of their end times with the premillennialists. What I found interesting was both of them are saying that we are so much more enlightened now in our theology than those poor saps were hundreds, thousands of years ago. And I don't know if you recall that from your interview with the doctor from that millennialist.
Oh, yeah, I remember it quite well. Dr. Thomas Ice, he used exactly the same argument to argue.
Right.
Let's be fair to Dr. Ice. He would never use that argument to argue in favor of homosexuality, but he does in favor of his dispensational teachings, yeah.
But the point is, they're using the same logic, even though they're completely, they're both groups would be opposed to each other. That's the irony.
It's stunning. I was going to say it's funny, but there's nothing funny about it. Kevin's listening in Webster Groves, Missouri. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Just a quick point in terms of logic. If they want to use the passage in John saying Jesus is going to teach us something new by the Spirit, therefore we can discount the Bible, basically, you know, ignore the Bible, the Spirit's going to speak to us. They're basing that on the Bible. So it kind of, you know, he's using a passage from the Bible to say don't listen to the Bible. So why should we listen to that passage?
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And Kevin, thanks for listening in Missouri. Yeah. I mean, that's what the response ought to be. Rather than applause and giggles and twittering with glee, as his audience does, what ought to be the response is, now, wait a minute. You're telling me that Jesus is telling us not to pay attention to the Bible, and you're quoting the Bible to have Jesus tell me not to pay attention to the Bible. If you can supersede one passage using Jesus, I have more to teach you, but you cannot bear it, why can't I supersede that passage? A classic misapplication. And you're right. Classic failure in logic altogether. Ronald listens in Bavaria. He says, I only got through a couple minutes of the audio. The equation of love with the full acceptance of any behavior plus the absence of any critique, unless it's conservative, is consternating. not to me, to him. Ronald, thanks for listening in Bavaria. Well, and that's where he started. He started, if parents love their children, then they will accept whatever behavior they dish out. And if the Anglican Communion has the kind of love that God has, it will accept homosexual behavior. You know what that is? To speak logically for just a second, classic ad hominem. Speaking not to the issue, but to the person. Essentially saying, if you don't agree with me, you are a hater. You don't love. Classic ad hominem. Let's go back to Bishop Robinson.
So look for the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. Does anyone doubt that we were led by the Holy Spirit to turn our backs on defending slavery by using Scripture was not a leading of the Holy Spirit? The denigration and subjugation of women, is it not the Holy Spirit that is leading us to a fuller understanding of the gifts and integrities and experiences of women? And I would say that the Holy Spirit is leading us to recognize gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people.
Okay, just in case we don't get to come back to that one, his argument is, well, the Holy Spirit led us to reject slavery, the denigration of women, and is now leading us to accept lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgendered behavior. Problem is with his argument, the Bible never taught the affirmation of slavery. The Bible never taught the denigration of women. The Bible does teach that homosexual behavior is wrong. But again, this isn't based on the Bible. He left the Bible behind a few paragraphs ago.
There is more that I would teach you, but you cannot bear it right now. And we should see this as a sign of a living God. We don't worship a God who stopped revealing God's self at the end of the first century when the canon of Scripture was closed. I mean, if you push it to its logical conclusion, it's as if God has said everything God needed to say to us by the end of the first century, you know, wished us well, and, I don't know, went to the Bahamas. You know, hope that goes okay for you. Now, in this one respect, the Methodists got it right. God is still speaking. God is still speaking. God love you if you're a Methodist. Do we have any of those in here? Oh, great. Good. A couple of moles from the Methodist Church. So I think we need to take our scriptures back. They belong to us as well. And we need to find our stories in them. The other thing that we need to do in this holy movement of ours is that we need to understand that we are about something much larger than the fight for the acceptance of gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. And I could talk for a very long time, and we need to talk about this for a very long time. What I actually think is going on here is the beginning, just the very beginning of the end of patriarchy.
We'll let him come back to that subject on the other side of the break. Have you noticed something else? It's a very clever rhetorical device he has used consistently in the course of this address to the Presbyterians. The bishop has consistently talked about lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people, accepting people. He wants to avoid the issue of behavior, which is the real issue. We'll be right back. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Cool change. I know that it's time for a cool change.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about a recent address, listening to a bit of it, from Bishop Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop of the Episcopal Church USA, speaking to a pro-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender group in the Presbyterian Church USA. Last year, I think we set a goal for our Thrivent Choice donors at about $15,000. They shot past. It was very nice to have them support us through Thrivent Choice. So we decided this year we would up it to $20,000, a goal that we know our listeners are happy to meet. If you are a member of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, you can go to our website, issuesetc.org, click donate, and as you click the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo, you'll find a way to designate your Thrivent dollars for Issues Etc. Now remember, Issues Etc. is produced by Lutheran Public Radio, so that's the name that you want to put in there, Lutheran Public Radio, and that will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org, click donate, and look for the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. And thank you very much for helping us get to that goal in 2012. Michael in Winnebago, in Illinois, says, I'm wondering why I kept watching the video until the end. But I was almost screaming natural law at my computer when he was telling the story that Sarah mentioned. I think that the guy has such tunnel vision in regard to his equality movement that he has forgotten everything else. Well, it defies not just, you're right, it defies not just natural law. This is a fight not only against the Word of God, this is a fight against nature. This is a fight against creation. It is. And that's why one of the church's responses to homosexuality has always been that it is unnatural, that it defies nature. That's not their only argument. Their clearest argument is from the Word of God, but a supplementary argument is it defies creation. Matthew in Boca Raton, Florida says, I find it interesting that anyone who speaks of homosexuality as a sin is considered to be preaching a God of hate and revenge, the bishop's words. He claims to speak of a God of mercy as well as to speak of homosexuality as not sinful. For there to be mercy, there has to be sin, says Matthew. His God isn't merciful. His God is amoral, at least when it's convenient. I wonder if his God is merciful to those who don't agree with him. It's a good question. Is he preaching a God? Is the Bishop Gene Robinson preaching a God of hate and vengeance when he condemns those who won't get on board with his leave the Bible behind, forget what it says about homosexuality, and move on with the Spirit movement? Tom in Texas says, I and you out in the lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgendered audience know more than the normal Christians. This seems to be Bishop Robinson's thought. It's nothing but old Gnosticism, updated to the 20th century. Satan is also adept at quoting scripture. Bishop Robinson is, in my opinion, Satan's wormwood. Tom in Texas, thank you very much. Yeah, it is kind of a Gnostic notion. We know better now. We're more enlightened. We have the secret knowledge that even the apostles didn't have. Interesting take, Tom. Thank you very much.
That's why both the Bible and culture today is driven nuts about two men together and, oh, are there lesbians? You know? It's about the sin of treating your male privilege in a way that seems to be turning your back on it and allowing yourself to be treated like a woman. Ugh, who would want that? Right. It's why women understand this fight so much more easily and well and deeply than many men, because they know what it's like to be on the receiving end of this kind of discrimination. And so what we really need to be talking about is not so much homophobia, but heterosexism.
I'm glad to hear at least someone in the LGBT movement admit that what we hear the advocates of the ordination of women in the church so often failing to admit, the two go together. They are a fight against patriarchy. Well, really, let's just admit it. They're a fight against God. What's the ultimate father in the patriarchy? God himself. This is rebellion against God. And when you rebel against God, you will naturally try to upturn the order of God's creation, won't you? You will want to substitute men for women and women for men in their natural roles, in their God-given roles. It's just another way of rebelling against your Heavenly Father. So it's nice to hear him at least admit that he really has a problem with fatherhood. That's, after all, what patriarchy means, fatherhood. It doesn't mean heterosexualism. It means fatherhood. So the next time somebody says, that's just patriarchal, say, what's your problem with fatherhood? You got a problem with fathers? Nathan in St. Cloud, Minnesota says, it always blows my mind how pastors, in quotes, who supposedly study the Bible, screw up the most basic things. All we can do is pray for them to repent and keep calling them out of their sins. Even if they think that they are preaching, that we are preaching hate, we are all sinners, and I would hope my fellow sinners out there would call me out of my sins as well. Well put, Nathan, and thanks for listening in Minnesota.
And let's remember what an ism is. An ism is prejudice plus power. You know this. You can be prejudiced against anything, but it's not an ism unless you have the power to put that prejudice into place in the culture, in the systems that serve us, in our churches, in all of our institutions. So if it's better to be white than to be a person of color, then you set the system up to benefit white people at the expense of those of color. And you have sexism. If it's better to be male than to be female, you set the system up so it rewards, and it does continue to reward, men at the expense of women. And the sin we are fighting in this movement is the notion that it is better to be heterosexual than it is to be homosexual, and we set the system up just to work that way.
That's remarkable. He actually has identified something as a sin, but it's the belief that homosexuality is a sin. That's the sin. Now, he couches it in terms of power. Postmodernists always do this. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's only positions of power and weakness. It's classic liberation theology. No time to go into that. But he's simply saying there is a sin. It's the belief that homosexuality is a sin. That's the sin. And that's the sin he claims to be fighting against. Let's see what Diane has to say, calling from St. Louis.
Hi. They're basically fighting gravity, and they can never win. And they have no peace, so they have to attack whatever stands in their way.
That is very well put, Diane. Thank you very much. You know, you do say, what motivates a movement like this? The restlessness of rejecting God's word. It makes you restless. You find no peace. Restless. You find no peace because you've rejected God's word. And so you go looking for it everywhere. And it makes you a champion of many causes. Enthusiastic. Perhaps even we could use the word religiously championing causes. Paul in High Ridge, Missouri, the bishop's address is purely argument to emotion, narcissistic emotion at that, faulty logic, and surely not what God's word teaches us. In every area of culture, a small number of people are not telling us that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered is okay, but rather forcing us to accept their error, whether we like it or not. If we don't accept it, we're wrong despite of what God says and still says. Note also the excessive use of humor to sell his position. That's true. It's true. And that's what's, we have to end. There's more audio, but we can't get to all of it. I apologize. That's kind of the weakness in his argument about prejudice being prejudice with power. When he says, who has the power in the culture in the church today? In his church body, the bishop, the man speaking, Bishop Robinson, has the power. And he's claiming to speak for God. The Issues Etc. are a book of the month for July. Speaking of change, my goodness. There are people out there who will tell you that the Reformation was all about change. It was all about changing everything from top to bottom. A thorough house cleaning. No, it wasn't. And you can read more about it in our Issues Etc. book of the month for July, Faith and Act. The survival, not the rejection, the survival of medieval ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation having to do with worship practice. You'll be stunned at how much of the medieval ceremonies actually survived, and rightly so, in the Lutheran Reformation. It's all there in our Issues Etc. book of the month for July, Faith and Act. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Faith and Act, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I don't know how much needs to be said. I mean, he said it all himself. The Bible is to be rejected, except that one verse where Jesus says that he has more to teach us that we cannot yet bear. The Bible is to be rejected in what it says about homosexuality. In fact, that argument works equally well against anything in the Bible you want to reject. So, this isn't a movement that has the Bible on its side, although he claims that he wants to take the Bible back. This is a movement that does not have the Holy Spirit on its side, although he claims that the Holy Spirit is leading the movement. But the Holy Spirit never leads the church and will never lead you away from the clear word of Holy Scripture. The Holy Spirit will always lead you back into the clear word of Holy Scripture. It will never urge you to explain away a single passage of the Bible, but to believe it. The Holy Spirit will always, he will always bring you to knowledge of what Christ has said and testify of Jesus himself. Who gets lost in the shuffle, sadly, in this movement of fighting patriarchy and pushing the agenda and fighting power? Jesus gets lost. Jesus is just another pawn in the movement. He's like Martin Luther King Jr. He's like any other example of someone who fought the power. But Jesus is Savior for real sinners like you and me, homosexual, heterosexual. He just isn't there. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the seven ecumenical councils with Pastor Heath Curtis. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around his means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues, etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.